Well, this morning we're finishing a message that I started last week on the heavenly vision. We need vision for the motivation and momentum for equipping the church for service, for ministry. I'm changing the text. Last week we looked at Psalm 119, several verses there. Today I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing and encouraging this young minister, and he is telling him that he needs to keep his focus on the Word of God. He needs to remember the Scriptures. From the Scriptures, God speaks and gives us our vision. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you are able to stand with me one more time this morning, I'd like to read several verses, starting with verse 1. I'd like to read two passages here, verses 1 through 5, and then drop down to verse 12 and read through verse 17. Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord add His blessing as we look into His Word today. Father, once again, we seek Your guidance and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, that He might inspire us to consider the things which You have prepared for us today, that we would be still and know that You are God, and that we would be quiet and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today's message is going to be quite different from the usual message. It's not going to be expository in the fact that we are going to be looking at verses and expounding on and explaining verses and looking for application in those verses. But it's going to be a continuation and a conclusion to the message that we started last week on vision. Each year we start the year out focused on seeking God, fasting and prayer, asking God to give us direction and vision, and then determining with God's help and by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit to follow His guidance, to do as individuals and as a church what God would lead us to do. Every year I feel a little frustrated at this time of the year. I, like probably 99% of us here, I struggle with prayer and fasting. I know it's essential. I know it's important. I know it's biblical. It's not easy. It's a battle for me. Not so much the physical part of it. Going without food, that's always been easy for me all my life. You wouldn't tell it by looking at me, but fasting physically fasting, that's not the hard part. The hard part is the disciplining of myself to get on my face before God and spend quality time there. That's a spiritual battle. Satan doesn't want us to do that. And Satan will throw everything he can at us to make sure that that is a struggle and that he tries to keep us from successfully doing that. I also feel a little frustrated at this time of the year because I feel here's the time I'm supposed to be getting something special from God. I'm supposed to be hearing His voice. I'm supposed to be getting clear direction for the rest of the year. It's my responsibility. Upon my shoulders rests the responsibility of leading this church in the direction I feel God would have it to go. And each year I come up feeling a little bit empty, to be honest. And I never blame God. I never get to the end of this period of prayer and fasting and saying, God, I didn't hear You speak. I didn't see You guiding me or showing me anything new or special. It just wasn't there. It just didn't happen. There must be something wrong with me. I didn't do it right. I didn't do it faithfully enough. I didn't do it earnestly enough. I didn't put enough into it. It must be me. This year's been different. This year God spoke to me early, even before the fast actually started. And I was praying and I said, Lord, this year I really need some wisdom. I need some vision. I need some guidance. The church is expecting me to come up with something new. The church is expecting me to come up with some kind of program that's going to ignite the church and put fire under us and help us to really see fruit produced this year and really see Your hand guiding us. And I kept praying that way toward the end of last year into the beginning of this year. And I began searching. I began searching for information on vision and how God speaks. And last week was the fruit of that search. God showed me how He leads church leaders in developing the vision. How that He speaks primarily through His Word. God's Word gives us the precepts and the principles that we need to follow His will and to do His work. And He leads us by prompting us with the Holy Spirit to listen to that still small voice, to allow God to lead as we open His Word. Okay, what do You have for me today, Lord? What are You showing me? What are you feeding me with today? What does Your Word tell me to do? And then wise counsel of others. I have the benefit and the blessing of being in fellowship with men like Sean Coffey and John Miller, two of my best friends, closest friends, who are very concerned and interested in helping pastors to be all that God wants us to be. And we pray together and we pray for each other regularly. And we get together for fellowship, and we talk about the church. Not gossiping, but Lord, show us Your will concerning the church. And as I studied and as I prepared and as I looked for things and information about vision, I ran across a lot of things, how God leads a church in demonstrating vision, that He gives them a vision, and then they're to write that vision down. And then they're to encourage the fellowship to follow that vision, to follow that path that God has given them. And all of a sudden, as I was doing that process, something different happened this year. God spoke to me, not in an audible voice, but very clearly, very unmistakably. God said to me, I've already given you the vision. Open your eyes and read it. And as I looked at a lot of the information that I was finding in the research on what is a vision and what you should do with the vision and how you should formulate the vision, everything kept saying to me, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit that kept saying to me, go to your constitution, go to your bylaws. Years ago, God gave godly men vision for this church, and they wrote it down. And it's there. All you have to do is read it, believe it, and follow it. That's your vision. I was greatly relieved. For the first time in many years, I was able to say, God, You did it. You came through. You gave me the vision. Now I see. I understand. I have direction. We've been saying that the vision should be a statement that the church can easily follow. It should be a short statement. It should be less than 100 words. It should be clear. It should be concise. It should be easy to follow. It should be something that everybody can understand. And as I opened the Constitution, behold, on page one, on page one, there it was. And it's called The Object. And I'd just like to go through that with you this morning. Like I said, this is a way different message than I usually preach. But I just want to remind you and refresh you on what our vision is, what it has been for the last 49 years. Yeah, 49 years. Next year we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary as a church here in this location, and the church history goes back beyond that several years. But back in those days, godly men were given the vision and inspired to write it down so that succeeding generations would be able to know why we are here. What does this church exist for? What's its purpose? What's its goal? And the vision statement is called our object. It's Article 2. It's just one short paragraph. It's concise, easy to understand. All we need to do is follow it. And I'd like to go through that with you this morning. I'll be stopping to make comments. But first it says, the object of this church is the edification of Christians. Okay, we've talked about that recently. The edification. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, which is the book, the letter that Paul wrote that gives the church direction. It talks about how to set up the church government, how to organize the church, how to make the church run efficiently. If you'll back up in your scriptures to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul is talking about the purpose of the church. And some time ago, last year, I preached a message on the two purposes of the church. From Ephesians, we find that the purpose of the church is, number one, edification, and number two, evangelization. Edification is first because before we can evangelize, before we can go outside these four walls into our mission field and begin to preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be strong. We need to be all that God intended us to be. We need to be taught. We need to be grounded and settled in the doctrines of the Bible. We need to be rooted in the Word of God. That's edification. Edification primarily means building up. We need to build up the body of Christ. And Paul talks about it here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, talking about the spiritual gifts. He doesn't mention all of them. He just mentions a few of them. But he says, and he, God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The edifying of the body of Christ. He gave spiritual gifts to the church, individual people with unique spiritual gifts to minister to the church, to help build the church up, to strengthen the church, to unify the church, to encourage the church to be ready to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Till we all come, verse 13, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete. Till we become everything that we should be. None of us are ever going to be perfect in this life. That means without flaw, no room for improvement. We all have lots of room for improvement, beginning with me. But until we become complete in Jesus Christ and prepared through the work of the Holy Spirit to go out into the world, that we become the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. In other words, The work of edification is to equip the body of Christ so that we understand and know what we believe. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. We need to be able to stand on the Word of God. But speaking the truth in love, verse 15, that we may grow up, that we may mature, that we may become well equipped and well able to handle the Word of God when we go out into the world to do evangelization. Again, in verse 16, he talks about the measure, measuring our standards, measuring our goals, our purposes, our accomplishments as far as training the body of Christ and preparing the body of Christ. The measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto, and there it is again, the edifying of the body of itself in love. The object of Waynesboro Bible Church is the edification of Christians through the teaching of God's Word. Through the teaching of God's Word. And thank God, not boasting here, but thank God, Waynesboro Bible Church emphasizes the teaching of God's Word. In our Sunday school department, in our children's church, in our Wednesday night Bible clubs, in our Christian service brigade, in our women's Bible study, in our nursing home ministry, in our rescue mission ministry, Sunday morning in preaching, Sunday night in preaching, Wednesday night in teaching the Word of God concerning prayer, our main source of information, and many times our only source of information, is the Word of God. It is our authority. It is our doctrine. It is what we believe. We stand firm on the Word of God. In John chapter 1, several years ago, around the first of the year, God gave me a message on John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word there is the word that means the undergirding strength. Everything in the universe, everything that God has made, rests upon the authority of His Word. And so the Word of God is essential. We believe in the edification of Christians through the teaching of God's Word, number one. Number two, the second purpose of the church after edification is evangelization. Our object says, we believe in the edification of Christians through the teaching of God's Word and the salvation of souls. The salvation of souls through the worldwide proclamation, announcing, preaching, teaching, the worldwide proclamation of God's saving grace. It's all about grace, amen? There's no greater word for grace than amazing. The amazing grace of God through which we are all saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God, the saving grace as expressed in the shed blood of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Our main focus of attention through the Word of God is the subject of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is all about Jesus. God sent His only begotten Son into this world. Why? Because He loved the world so much that He didn't want to see anyone perish. And so He made a way of salvation available for everyone by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible is the message. It is the love letter from God about His love to us and how that Jesus Christ loved us so much that He was willing to go to the cross of Calvary and die for our sins. It is our goal, our object, our vision in Waynesboro Bible Church to proclaim that message worldwide. We start here in our own Jerusalem, amen? We go outside the doors of this church and we are entering the mission field. There are multitudes of people in our own neighborhood that do not have a Savior. They do not know Jesus Christ. There are many out there who think they know Jesus Christ, but they are just as lost as everyone who doesn't name the name of Christ at all. There are many people out there who are wicked and evil men because the Holy Spirit has not enlightened their heart through the ministry of prayer, through the ministry of evangelization. And so we need to keep praying, and we need to keep going, and we need to keep proclaiming, and we need to keep evangelizing. We need to keep giving out the Word of God. Why? The Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, it goes back to the Bible. We stand on the Bible. Let me start over. The object of this church is the edification of Christians through the teaching of God's Word, the salvation of souls, the worldwide proclamation of God's saving grace expressed in the shed blood of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. And then it continues, comma, the promotion of godly worship. The promotion of godly worship. And I don't need to tell you today, we've been talking about this enough throughout the last several years to know that not everything that goes on inside the walls of churches today is godly worship. In fact, if you took all the churches as a whole across the United States and around the world, probably a very small percentage is really, truly, genuine worship, where we bow before God and recognize His supreme authority, and we honor and revere His name, and we cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That's genuine worship. When it comes from the heart, when it's earnest, when it's sincere, Jesus told the woman at the well, those who worship God must worship Him in spirit, from the heart. It has to be sincere and genuine. In spirit and in truth, it must be biblical. It must focus on God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It must honor Him. It's not to honor us. It's not to lift us up. It's to glorify Him. It's to point us toward Him. It's to lift our attention toward Him. That's genuine worship. We strive to make the worship experience worship. And we're constantly examining and evaluating whether we're doing that to the best of our ability. But worship goes beyond the walls of the church. Worship extends beyond Sunday morning and Sunday night. We need to worship God daily. Christians who do not revere God's Word enough and realize that God's Word is so essential to their spiritual health that they seek God's will through His Word daily are not worshiping God. We worship God by putting Him first in our lives, by bowing down before Him and confessing, genuinely confessing our sins, and making sure that our hearts are clean before God, and bowing before Him, bowing prostrate before Him, and glorifying Him in everything we do, doing it with thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to be practicing worship every single day. We, the congregation of Waynesboro Bible Church, it was given to us by our forefathers in our statement of faith years ago, that we would focus on the promotion of godly worship. And we're not finished. And the defense of the faith once delivered unto the saints. Defending the faith. How do you defend the faith? Well, when someone tells you something that doesn't line up with what we believe, we let it be known, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Bible teaches. We teach the truth, we expose errors in doctrine, and we let God's people know the right path that they should be following when it comes to spiritual truth. So we are defenders of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. From Jude chapter 1, he tells us to do that. And we're to do all of this, according to the last three words of our doctrinal statements, victory, vision statement, or object. We're to do everything. Let me start over. We are to seek the edification of Christians through the teaching of God's Word, the salvation of souls, the worldwide proclamation of God's saving grace expressed in the shed blood of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, the promotion of godly worship, and the defense of the faith once delivered unto the saints. Here it is. Until He comes. So in 2019 we'll be finished. Right? Cindy's going, we don't know that. Right. Until He comes, whenever that may be. We don't decide, we no longer need vision. Because where there is no vision, finish it, the people perish. When we get our eyes off of what it is we are supposed to be doing, what God has showed this church that it's supposed to be doing, then we lose our vision. Many churches in today's world have lost their vision. And they are like a man without faith in James chapter 1. They are double-minded in all their ways. They are like a ship without a rudder. It's just going whichever way the wind turns. Whichever way the world steers the church, that's the way many churches are going. And so many churches are putting so much emphasis, as we heard recently from one of our missionaries, they're putting so much emphasis on numbers and success that they decide whatever we need to do to have quote-unquote success in our eyes, we will do. That's not what God's Word tells me. God's Word tells me we are to focus our attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and we are to follow Him until He comes. We don't change paths. We don't change course in the middle of the trip. We keep focused upon the vision that God has given many years ago. We ask that everyone who attends our services on a regular basis, we ask at every invitation that's given, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you ready for His coming? If Jesus Christ were to appear in those clouds today, the Bible says the church will be caught up to meet Him in the air. The church. And that doesn't mean, well, I've got my name on the membership of a church, I must be safe, right? It doesn't mean, well, I've been baptized, so I must be going to get caught up, right? It doesn't mean, well, I give more than 10% of my money to the Lord, I must be going to go in the rapture, right? No, it means if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that He has died on the cross because you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner, and He has offered payment for the penalty of those sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm trusting in that. I'm believing in that. I have asked Him to forgive me. I have asked Him to be my Savior and my Lord. And I am following Him. I know Him personally. Not everybody who sits in every church is genuinely saved. In many churches, I would dare say the majority are not saved. But I would also dare say in every church, yes, including Waynesboro Bible Church, there's a percentage of people who have sat here for years and have not genuinely trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. So I'm not speaking to you today. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I'm asking the Word of God to speak to you. I'm asking God to do what only God can do. I'm not here to convince people to get saved. I'm here to proclaim the good news of salvation. It's up to God, the Holy Spirit, to draw you by conviction, to draw you and woo you unto God. And so if you're sitting here this morning and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and saying, are you sure? Have you really trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or if you're wondering, what if I did hear that trumpet this afternoon and it was Jesus Christ coming back for the church? Would I really be caught up to meet Him in the air? If you're not sure, if there's questions in your heart, there's a good chance you're not ready. Father in heaven, speak to hearts today. Do what only God can do. Minister to the spiritual needs of our congregation. Help us to follow your lead. Help us to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to maintain the vision that has been given to our church years ago. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.